I'm Nick Wallace. This is reporting Depp v. Heard. Regular updates from the court in the celebrity trial of the century.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of reporting Depp v. Heard from outside Fairfax County Court once more. We're on to day 21 of this week six, and it's a six-week trial, and it already feels like things are winding up towards the big climax, which will be on Friday when we have the closing arguments. We were going to have Johnny Depp on the stand today, but Amber Heard's team decided they didn't want him and instead put an expert witness in the afternoon. However, they have not said whether or not they don't want him tomorrow, if that makes sense. So he may appear on the stand tomorrow. We've also got the prospect of Kate Moss, a former girlfriend of Johnny Depp. If you don't know who Kate Moss is, she was at one stage the most famous model in the UK by a country mile. I imagine she must have been famous in America as well. She will be the only celebrity outside the principals to give evidence, it seems, if my memory serves me correctly. And she is being called to do a live video link first thing on Wednesday morning. So it looks like it's going to be an interesting week, to say the least. Oh, and Johnny Depp looks like he's going to be the final rebuttal witness for his own side on the Thursday as well. So, as I say, building up towards a climax. Today, we had just three witnesses. They were all expert witnesses. The first one was a doctor who said there is absolutely no way that Johnny Depp could have lost his finger in the manner that he described. And I think it was quite difficult for Johnny Depp's team to really suggest otherwise. However, the plastic phone theory, which was propounded by Amber Heard herself, was also out of the window. The doctor who was cross-examined and examined this morning in court seemed to think it was much more likely that it was the accordion door theory. He said his injury, the fracture and the loss of the tissue, the tip of Johnny Depp's finger, was much more likely to have been trapped in a door than to either have been sliced off by some plastic from a phone or smashed by a flying bottle of vodka. The second witness today was an altogether more extraordinary experience. He's a physician psychiatrist, and he decided that Johnny Depp's behaviours were consistent with someone who has severe drug misuse problems and all the hallmarks and traits of narcissistic behaviour and personality, and someone who is predicated towards a likelihood of domestic violence. And he made his case relatively cogently during direct examination. It was what happened during cross-examination that was one of the most extraordinary spectacles, not just in this trial, but in any trial that I've witnessed to date, to the extent that I got an expert witness who I know, who works for the UK courts, to give me her opinion of it. And she said that it lacked professionalism and also relied too much on personal experience. And they suspected that his professional association would be writing to him after his performance in the witness box. The final witness of the afternoon was Catherine Arnold, who spoke to the damages that Amber Heard may or may not have suffered as a result of the Adam Waldman statements, which are now being described as the Depp Waldman statements by Team Heard, since the judge has ruled that Adam Waldman's statements to the Daily Mail can be read as being authorised by Johnny Depp. Wayne Dennison came back in the afternoon to cross-examine her on behalf of Johnny Depp, and a long, dreary, lengthy, and weirdly at times quite flirtatious battle took place between the two of them, as he made the point that the only evidence that she's got that Adam Waldman's comments made any difference to Amber Heard was a correlation rather than a causation. And digging into that took all of the afternoon, I think, by which time many people were losing the will to live. But I guess these things have to be done. So that was the day in court. Let me introduce you now to the first of the park bench interviewees. I have one live and one remote. My live interviewee is an Amber Heard supporter. He wasn't in court today, so we don't talk about what happened in court. But he was standing there with a sign, and as I have interviewed pitifully few Amber Heard supporters over the course of these updates, I thought I would sit him down, and now we can cut to the park bench interview with Dan, the Amber Heard fan. Okay, here we are. Park bench interview on day 21 of what is going to be a 25-day trial. We're into week 6, and this is Dan, otherwise known as?
AmberStan11 on Twitter.
AmberStan11 on Twitter. Very rare to actually find that many Amber Heard fans in and around court nowadays, but I have noticed one or two more than usual today. What's going on?
I would say that there are more Amber supporters coming out. I came here last Wednesday, actually.
And I missed you.
No, it's all good. I came here last Wednesday with my sign, with the sign that you just saw.
Yeah.
And I started with one follower on Twitter, and now I'm over 650.
Okay.
Which isn't too bad.
It's a start.
It's a start, yeah.
So tell me why you are supporting Amber Heard and what you make of the rabid online support for Johnny Depp.
So I support Amber Heard for a few reasons. One of the reasons why I support Amber Heard is because she has a case, a solid case against Johnny Depp.
What makes you say that?
With this case, it's about libel, defamation against Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Now, the big question is, did Johnny Depp commit any acts of domestic violence against Amber Heard at any time, any place? And the answer is yes, I think so.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely. There's solid evidence.
Go on. What's the solid evidence?
The solid evidence?
Yeah.
Hair pulling, the hair pulled out. There's pictures of that. Bruising on the face. Something clearly happened. Johnny Depp was using alcohol, drugs. If that contributed to the abuse, I can't say. That's for the jury to decide.
Mm-hmm.
But witnesses also corroborating the evidence.
Which one?
Which ones? I don't want to butcher their names, but there's a lot of evidence against Johnny Depp, and I think it's a crystal clear case against Johnny Depp.
Okay.
So, did anything happen with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard? Yes. What happened exactly? That's for the jury to decide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I was the jury, I could see myself siding with Amber Heard.
That's what happened in the UK case. The judge sided with Amber Heard and cited some of the evidence that you mentioned, but there are suggestions here that she was the abuser, and this concept of her, well, we've heard her admit to starting a physical fight, and we've heard several people describe her landing a punch on Johnny Depp, and we've also listened to some audio tapes which sound very cruel, I think, even to a completely objective observer or even to an Amber Heard fan. I don't know, maybe you'd say something different, but Johnny Depp says that he's the one who's abused in this case. Is that feasible?
Well, first of all, I think that's for the jury to decide. I see myself siding with the jury here, where Amber Heard, well, she was a victim of abuse too, right? So we don't really know what happened in that relationship between both of them.
Well, isn't this what it comes down to? We don't know what happened behind closed doors.
Exactly, but for the jury to hear all the facts
and
not to be distracted by this happened on TikTok or social media, we should look at the cold, hard facts of the case.
Well, I think that is what the jury will do. I sat through the jury selection process. It was very thorough. I've seen the way that evidence is contested right up to the point until it's published to the jury.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when it comes to the jury instructions, which we know have now been finalised, they will be given very clear directions on what they can and can't do and where they will end up. So what do you make of the stuff that's going on in the court of public opinion? Because this can't be harming Johnny Depp, can it? I mean, what he wanted was his reputation back. And you've seen the growing enthusiasm for him online and what's happening in and around court. There are more and more fans here every day. What do you think about what is going on here?
I think it's a disgrace right now. What's going on social media and in public, it's just a PR smear campaign against Amber Heard.
Is it though?
Yes,
absolutely.
I would say so with 100% confidence. If you look at someone that's neutral, for example, and they see a post about Amber Heard on TikTok,
mm-hmm.
right? They know nothing about Amber Heard or Johnny Depp. If they see it has 100,000 likes, and then they see all the comments saying, like, it's Amber's line, right? They're
going to
think that Amber is a negative person.
Sorry, when you said a smear campaign, I suppose I was asking whether or not you think it's been orchestrated by anyone, or whether you just think it's almost like a self-perpetuating thing.
Listen, I can't speculate on what's going on. What I can say is that I see what's going on. A lot of posts out there on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, that aren't even based on fact. They're based on body reactions and how someone is handling a tissue, and
that's not
looking for the truth. That's just circus. That's a circus show.
So this is the question: who do you blame for that? Because the judge could have decided that she was not going to televise this trial. I'm a big fan of open justice. Although I'm wondering whether or not it's necessarily a brilliant idea given what we've seen the toxicity we've seen online, yes. which has been fueled by this trial. But in the UK, it wasn't televised. And I think that in the UK, it's if you shine a light on things, then they're properly scrutinized. Now, there are lots and lots of people who say, who are not the ones who are just picking this up and responding to the memes right. and the TikTok videos. But there are many, many people who say that they've studied enough of the evidence to come to their own conclusions, and therefore it doesn't matter what a judge in England thinks. They know what the truth of it is. And more people are, it seems, coming round to that perspective. Now, is that perhaps a purer form of justice than what goes on in the slightly kind of tram-lined environment of a court?
Well, I can see your point there. And I can understand why people would want a closed court versus what we see today. I think justice is possible in both scenarios, right? But the way that we're abusing our right to, let's say, free speech and to see what's going on in a very private relationship between Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, we aren't looking for the truth. We aren't looking for justice right now, which is a big problem, right? Because domestic violence is a huge problem in the United States. Every 20 seconds, there's a new victim of domestic violence. 1 in 4 women have experienced domestic violence. 1 in 9 men have experienced domestic violence,
all right?
Right?
I must, before I get it in the neck from a certain group of people who I've been dealing with quite a lot, the statistics that I've been quoted by them is that 1 in 3 women, more than 1 in 3 women, more than 1 in 4 men have experienced domestic violence.
Then we're just quoting different. But hey, both sides experience domestic violence. And we're not talking about domestic violence here. We're talking about how Johnny Depp reacted to an objection to hearsay. We're talking about Amber Heard, how she didn't authentically wipe away a tear. That's not what we're looking for here.
But all right, okay, so you're a sensible person, you've got empathy, there is an awful lot of silliness online.
Of course, yes.
And since time immemorial, human beings have wanted bread and circuses. And this is a circus, and the mob are they're having their entertainment. But I suppose that what I'm interested in is at what point the mob starts to sort of fray away at the fabric of our justice systems, how they can cause them to be disregarded. Do you think that if the verdict goes... All right, I'll ask you 2 straight questions.
Okay.
If the verdict goes in Johnny Depp's favour, will you accept it?
Of course, because that is the jury's decision to make. But I believe that the jury will make the right decision.
So whatever decision the jury make is the right decision.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay, and you will absolutely accept that?
Absolutely, yes.
So it could well be that Johnny Depp is an innocent man and that he has been defamed by Amber Heard. And if the jury decide that, then basically all the people who, without the abuse, but all the people who have been campaigning for him online will be vindicated.
Well,
and they're allowed to believe that
he's
an innocent man.
But we're also seeing a lot of people never even taking Amber Heard's side in the first place. We aren't seeing people accepting innocent before guilty, right? We believe that someone is innocent before we start piling on with evidence, right? So we need to understand that even if you have a negative bias against Amber Heard, if you have a negative bias against Johnny Depp, you need to clear your mind and become neutral, right? And understand what are the facts.
You wouldn't believe how many people I've spoken to said that they were... They'd heard that Johnny Depp had had a DVRA taken out against him, a domestic violence restraining order taken out
right.
against him in 2016. And they said at the time, they said, what a shame. I really like Johnny Depp. It's really upsetting to find out that he's a wrong'un. Then they said, with the amount of evidence that was put into the public domain, they have done their own reading and their own research. And actually, they've decided that they've seen enough to change their minds, that they think he is essentially a victim of a miscarriage of justice. He should never have had that DVRA taken out against him. And they feel that despite the English court case, the evidence in the public domain vindicates him. That's why they support him.
Well, that's for the jury to decide, right?
But you're Amber Stan 11.
Yes,
you're
I am.
Standing with Amber Heard.
I am.
Why are you getting involved then if you think it's for the jury to decide?
Because there's a massive influx of just a negative PR smear campaign against Amber Heard, and no one's saying anything about it. It's just a travesty of like free speech, right?
So it's that that's radicalized you. That's made you angry. That's what's upset you.
Let's not call a radical calling me a radical.
But you have responded. I've responded. What you've seen on social media, and you're going, no, I'm going to. So you're supporting Amber Heard as a reaction to the amount of abuse that she's getting online. Is that what it is?
Not only that, but I also believe her 100%.
Okay, but you're prepared to believe that she is a mentally unwell liar and fantasist if the jury decides that Johnny Depp...
The jury would never phrase it like that.
No, but that is how she is being portrayed in order for Johnny Depp to make his case.
That's what Johnny Depp's PR team wants us to believe. Okay.
Well, it's what's happening in court. They're saying that this is a mentally unstable, unwell woman, and she is a fantasist and a liar, and that is why she has defamed me. So you will take that if the jury find for Johnny Depp.
I'll accept the verdict that the jury gives.
So what's it actually been like standing up for Amber Heard online and in person here at court today?
I'll say it's mostly positive, surprisingly, right? I still get a lot of snickers. I get a lot of grins towards me.
This is what I can't stand about the online abuse that everyone seems to be willing, well, people seem to be willing to dish out against everyone. Meet people face to face, they're generally lovely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're
right?
Polite.
Yes, of course.
Even if you might have completely different opposing views, you get on, you get to explain each other's point of view. Whereas online it's flaming and horrendous. So you've been welcomed, you've been tolerated, you've been chatting to people, you've had a nice time?
Almost everyone that I've talked to.
Yeah, I mean, there are always a few exceptions.
Yeah, of course, but most of the people I've talked to today have been more than gracious. They've been willing to talk to me, and that's all I care about, really. I don't care about your opinion. You're more than welcome to have a different opinion than me, right?
So what are you getting online?
Well, online, completely different story.
The Wild West, isn't it?
Of course, but... I think that if you hold yourself to a higher standard of communication, of free speech, then I don't think you're as disappointed by what you see online.
Okay. What impact do you think the jury decision will have on all of this? Whichever way it goes.
I don't like to speculate, honestly. So I don't know. We'll see, I guess. That's why... this is the last week of trial, and I'm really excited to see what happens.
Are you going to stay here the whole week? I don't know what you do for a living. Have you got time on your hands?
Yeah, I got time on my hands.
Okay.
I'll be here.
Dan, the Amber Stan, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Really nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank
you. So that was Dan, the Amber Heard fan, or Stan. My thanks to him for allowing me to essentially drag him over to the park bench. And Biff Katie from Build magazine, who was actually quite glad to be biffed from the park bench today because she said she looked rubbish. But she said that she will make an effort tomorrow and I can interview her then. So I can promise you an interview tomorrow with Katie, the German journalist from Build magazine, who I have spent much of the last 6 weeks hanging out with professionally around the environs of Fairfax County Court. So time now to tell you, or to introduce you to my second and remote park bench interviewee. Her name is, she goes by the name of Jessica Lucas. She's a journalist for Input magazine, and she is fascinated by the online world. So this is what she has to say about her research and findings whilst she's been looking into the storm or the tsunami of support for Johnny Depp online. Jessica, how lovely to see you.
Hello, thank you for meeting with me.
Not at all. Now, tell me all about your interest in Depp v. Heard. I know that this is sort of right in your sweet spot as a journalist, but tell me how you came to it. You've already written a couple of articles about it, haven't you? So what are you picking up? Why does it sort of pressing your buttons, and what are you making of it all?
I think for people in the internet culture space, it is impossible to ignore because it's taken over pretty much every social media platform. Loads of influencers are kind of, I don't want to call it a trend because that's a particularly disgusting way of framing it, but that there is sort of a trend to commentate or riff off of the Depp v. Heard case. And, you know, you only have to talk to your colleagues or your relatives or whoever else. Everyone has an opinion on it because everyone is being spammed with content related to Depp v. Heard on their social media accounts. One thing that algorithms love, and in particular TikTok, is engagement. And because of how controversial this case is, you know, you've got a lot of warring factions involved. You have people getting into comment arguments, poring over videos to analyze the evidence themselves. It means high view counts, high numbers of comments, loads of likes, and that pushes things up onto people's For You pages, home pages, however they're consuming social media.
Why is this pressing so many buttons? Why is this? You've got a huge amount of content which features a world famous man, and obviously very emotional, triggering content for some people, but certainly controversial. What is it? Is it simply that? Is it this sort of, you've got a lot of combination of things which press people's buttons separately, and they're all coming together in one story?
Absolutely. I think that is the foundation of it. But I think the main driver of all of this is the fact that the trial has been televised. So it makes it very easy for people, and I'm talking about anyone, not just influencers, to create content out of trial footage, to get involved in the debate through their social media. And it's just, everyone wants to talk about this case, and because it's such a cultural reference point at the moment, it becomes very appealing for influencers to jump on, because they know that people will be interested in this content. They know they're going to get engagement. They know they will increase their online presence if they commentate.
And of course, the internet was primed, wasn't it? So you've got the peg of the trial, but you had a huge amount of internet activity. You had the first trial in 2020, and then you had these accounts, mainly I think pro Johnny Depp accounts, who were in their view doing the investigations and building the evidence and building their followers. It was pump primed to go viral, essentially.
Yeah, completely. For example, I spoke to a lawyer who has been live streaming the case and commentating on it in real time, and she had 67,000 viewers last week who stayed with her for 4 hours watching the trial. It's almost become lucrative for people to create content out of it, which I think is another thing that is driving all of this for people who are creating this content. They're making money off of it. One lawyer I spoke to made $15,000 in 2 weeks just from making videos about this trial.
I mean, the thing about that, and I'm a journalist, I'm a freelance journalist, and I used crowdfunding and various media outlets to get me out here. So I'm making money off this trial as well. So I'm not being sniffy about this, and I'm not being moralistic about it. But if I was unscrupulous, the biggest audience is in the pro-debt camp. Because I'm absolutely not taking sides, or possibly because my journalism isn't very good. But let's pretend. let's suggest it's because I'm not taking sides. Whereas there is money to be made in taking a side, and it's in taking Johnny Depp's side. And I'm wondering, and I think you've touched on this in some of the writing that you've done, I'm wondering if that is healthy.
No, it's absolutely not. And you can see it. So to give you some context, because I jotted this down earlier. In March, the hashtag Johnny Depp had 4.6 billion views on TikTok. By April 22nd, which was about 11 days into the trial, it had 7.4 billion views. And today it sat at 23.6 billion. Now, to put that in context, yeah, at the hashtag Amber Heard on TikTok only has 12.4 billion views.
She's doing some good business there as well. But it's just the scale of it that's astonishing, isn't it? I mean, what kind of comparable, have you got any stats for any comparable events? Or, I mean, is this really off the scale, or what is it equivalent to? Is it equivalent to, I don't know, a Super Bowl or something like that? What comparison does it have?
It's off the scale. So I'm writing about nail influencers at the moment, which are enormous on TikTok, people who do nail art. Now, that's a niche that I think only has about 20 billion views, and that's been built over several years, but it's one of TikTok's largest. And I think WitchTok, which is another one most people know about, also has that range of views under its relevant hashtag. So the fact that the trial has generated this much attention and this many views in such a short space of time really is incredible. It's probably not the right word for it, but it's unprecedented, shall we say.
Yeah. And just talking about the healthiness of this, because I don't know whether you are drawing any conclusions or people are saying anything about what this means for the way public discourse is carried out, the way institutions, for instance, the justice system, is respected or otherwise, because this trial has obviously played out in the court of public opinion. And there is, I think, potentially a real danger that the jury's verdict, if it doesn't go the way that it seems the majority of people want it to go, will be disregarded. And then you've got a real problem, haven't you? Because if you can start disregarding jury verdicts, where are you?
It's frightening, to be honest with you. And NBC actually did a really good job of reporting on all of the reasons that this could be dangerous for victims of domestic abuse in particular. So there's this fallacy of the perfect victim, you know, someone who documents everything but doesn't fight back and does all of the right things if they are in this situation. And we know that just doesn't exist. That doesn't happen to people. It's also circulating the myth of mutual abuse. So we know because of power dynamics in domestic abuse and also reactive abuse, which is where someone will respond aggressively or in kind to abuse that's directed at them, that mutual abuse is just really not a thing. You also have the amount of ridicule that Amber Heard is facing. And for someone who is, if someone is going through domestic violence themselves and they see all of this ridicule online, I mean, how likely are they to come forward if they feel they will also be penalised? Obviously not on the same scale, but still, it creates quite a dangerous environment for people going through these cases in the future.
I'm interested that you mentioned the phrase mutual abuse, because I think there's a cultural fault line running directly through that. There are plenty of people I've spoken to who are horrified at Dr. Laurel Anderson's diagnosis. I don't know if it's diagnosis. In her notes, she described the relationship between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard as one of mutual abuse. And when I picked that out, I had a number of people contact me horrified, saying mutual abuse doesn't exist. I've subsequently spoken to a lot of people saying, of course it exists. Of course it's perfectly possible that in a relationship you can have people starting up at each other. And I can see why people who say mutual abuse doesn't exist want to say that, because of course it can be used as a gaslighting term and it can be used to spread false allegations about people. But there are also other people who say, well, of course it's perfectly possible that you can have two people in a toxic relationship to varying degrees mutually abusing each other. But your view is that mutual abuse doesn't exist.
I think my view is that you have to look at the power dynamics that are going on, and to frame something as mutual abuse when one person is much larger, much more powerful, allegedly much more violent, just it doesn't seem right. Because then how do you draw a distinction between mutual abuse and just fighting back or trying to defend yourself? And I think that's where it becomes quite dangerous. Perhaps saying that mutual abuse doesn't exist is a bit extreme, but certainly if you consider power dynamics or the way people can be backed into a corner and given few options other than to try and defend themselves, I just think it's dangerous to peddle this idea.
So, okay, you're a social media journalist. This is your beat. This is your trade. What would you like to see change about the way these kind of really serious issues are dealt with or policed on social media? Or is the genie out of the bottle? Because, I mean, I find social media really, really helpful for everything that I do. I think it can be an enormously powerful and liberating force. But it comes with the crazies. What's your recipe for getting us from where we are now to somewhere healthier, if you think what is happening now is unhealthy?
It's quite a tall order.
Come on, Jessica, fix it in 10 minutes.
Fix it now. But I mean, it's I really would like to see this true crime niche, because it goes further than Depp and Heard. A really famous example is the case of Gabby Petito, who was murdered by her boyfriend, I think, last year. And TikTok got hold of this case. They started going through this woman's social media accounts and circulating evidence amongst themselves and speculating and trying to solve the case ahead of the police. And this is the dynamic that I think is most dangerous and needs to be more heavily moderated. But I don't know if we'll see that anytime soon, because it's also incredibly lucrative for social media companies to allow this kind of content to continue, because people do love it for whatever reason. Just, I guess it's almost this idea that they are, and this is a very social media-ish turn, it's main character syndrome, isn't it? It's look at me, I am on this case, I'm smarter than all of these people, and it's me that's putting this together.
Yeah, and you can sort of come up with breaking news developments, and that triggers more virality and followers and the like as well. I can see that. So, but you know, you can't shut it down, can you? I mean, or should there be laws that say, as there are already reasonably strict contempt laws in the UK, should we be saying that commenting on a live trial could put you in contempt, commenting on a live issue? Or do you extend it to protect victims permanently? I mean, you can make laws to do anything. It's just whether or not they're going to be effective and whether they're not, they're going to work. I mean, can it be done? Can you regulate and police this kind of thing? Should we be doing that?
I don't know. And I'm not sure. I think certainly, and I had no idea how this would be executed, but more attention should be paid to false evidence or fabricated evidence that's put into circulation. So, for example, when one thing that did the rounds on social media was accusations that Amber Heard had actually stolen her opening testimony from the talented Mr. Ripley, and she'd actually delivered that monologue, which we know is untrue, it's false. So seeing things like that shut down and addressed would be helpful. But again, how you do this, I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, one of the things that struck me about this case is the judge is entirely absent in terms of her responsibility. She's basically created this situation where journalists can't get into court. And I don't want to be accused of special pleading on this, but I think there is a value to having a bank of journalists and shorthand writers covering this case and picking out the things they think are interesting and looking at that through a mainstream media lens. But I also think that by putting it online, essentially emptying the entire contents of what is happening in court into the public sphere, she's devolved the decision in this case to TikTok. And yet there is no kind of instruction about how the footage can or can't be used, which she could have ordered. And so she's abrogated her responsibility, I think. And I wonder whether that is something that the judiciary in the US or in the Anglosphere needs to look at, that if they are going to make trials available publicly, which I've always advocated, I've always thought, you know, shine a light on what goes on inside courts, that has to come with some level of responsibility. You can't essentially just sort of chuck it out of the window and hope for the best.
I think so, but you'll never win in these situations. So as you mentioned earlier, you can almost see it coming down the road that if Amber Heard does win this case, it will be framed by this whole Depp contingent as a great conspiracy and injustice, no matter how much evidence is waved in their face. So I think if you cut people off from the courts and regulated their access in this way, or their ability to distribute it on social media in a weird way, that would cause more distrust.
Are we getting too sanctimonious about this? Is this not just something that human beings have done from time immemorial? What happens on a big stage with people with money and power? We've gossiped about since society has existed. Social media is just an extension of that. There's a huge amount of content being created. Not everyone's having a laugh and making money, but there are a huge number of people who are having a laugh and making money, and they're consuming this, and they're going to come away with it with some things, as you said, you mentioned, even if it's serious points. What's wrong with it?
I think there's nothing wrong with punching upward when it comes to making content. And I mentioned that because the current case going on with Colleen Rooney in the UK is a fine example of that. And has been turned into a bit of a farce, I think, on Twitter. But when it comes to cases of abuse, when it comes to a case where we're talking about sexual violence and also, I guess, to a certain extent, gender dynamics and the men's rights movement and Me Too, there's much more at stake here, particularly because it's blown up and it's happening on a much larger scale. I think we often forget, and this is true of internet culture journalists in particular, we often forget that young people are the main consumers of this content, and I'm talking about teenagers now, and this kind of stuff, these kind of narratives, I mean these could shape their viewpoints long term. And that I think is pretty terrifying.
But But over here in America, I mean, there are plenty of people who are going, thank God this case has come along. The whole justice system is wrong. The whole way we treat men is wrong. And this trial, whatever the ins and outs of who's wrong and who's right in this individual case, this is putting these things on the agenda. And that has to be healthy, is their view. They're, you know, the Believe All Women Me Too movement, many people have said to me that just swung everything far too far in the wrong direction, because there are plenty of manipulative, violent women who are able to manipulate the system to their own ends. And at least this trial will start to provide some kind of bulwark against that. Certainly in America, it's a conversation that is being had. And there are some people saying it's a conversation that needs to be had.
I agree. I also think, you know, I think plenty is quite a strong word. I'm not denying the existence of female abusers or manipulators. So we all know they exist, but to be frank, as far as we're aware, they exist on a much smaller scale. So I agree that we need to look at the justice system and make sure it's fair. But we should also be cautious of pushing it in the wrong direction and taking power away from women when often women have power removed from them in their day-to-day lives.
My thanks to Jessica for her time. I am very grateful. My thanks to you for supporting reporting Depp v. Heard. I do appreciate all the lovely comments and messages that I've been getting for the YouTube updates and for the podcast as well. Apparently the podcast is doing really well in the Apple podcast chart, which is nice. I don't get my podcasts via Apple. I get them via another platform, but it's good to know that Apple are supporting this. So thank you, Apple. Thank you very much. I will be back tomorrow, where hopefully it's going to be a little bit warmer. Suddenly gone all a bit chilly down here in Fairfax County. Take care. Bye-bye.
I'm Nick Wallace. This is Reporting Depp v. Heard.